This is Talk Is Cheap on KEPW LP 97.3 FM, Eugene Peaceworks Independent Community Radio. All right, on March 1st, 2025, there's going to be a second citywide healthcare forum and health fair at sponsored by the Eugene Healthcare Coalition at the Willamette Christian Center on 2500 West 18th Avenue. So I talked to Tom Peck, the vice chair of the Eugene Healthcare Coalition, about this very important meeting that is going to feature people like Senator James Manning and Representative Lisa Fragola. Thanks for listening. Tell your friends, support independent media.
My name is Tom Peck. I am the vice chair of the Friendly Area Neighborhood, and I'm also on the steering committee of the Eugene Healthcare Coalition. The Eugene Healthcare Coalition is promoting the upcoming citywide healthcare forum on Saturday, March 1st. I'd like to talk a little bit about what we are planning and what we hope to accomplish at this forum. Just a little bit about us. The Eugene Healthcare Coalition is a broad coalition of volunteers from unions, neighborhood associations, faith-based organizations, and our mission is to educate and activate the community to preserve the quality and access of our healthcare, and really to support the good elected officials who are putting forth legislation to protect it as well. We have some great speakers. They are the top elected officials who are leading healthcare reform. And they include Senator James Manning, who is very much behind healthcare for all. Lisa Fragola, who is a co-signer with Nancy Nathanson, her bill on innovative healthcare for Lane County. We'll have Eve Gray, who is the director of Lane County Health and Human Services. Fire Chief Chris Cavan. There's major reform underway in the fire department and EMS. Amy Fellows, who is an Oregon Governance Board member. Matt Calzia, who is an RN working at a local hospital, who's going to talk about working conditions and how the push for by their corporations, by, you know, the hospitals, to push nurses to maximize their output, which creates somewhat dangerous health care. And the last speaker is Valdez Bravo. He's the president of Healthcare for All Oregon. So it's a really dynamic group of people. There will be time for questions and answers after they their presentations. So preceding the forum, starting at 11 a.m., is an NAACP healthcare fair. So all of the smaller community healthcare organizations will be presenting. HIV Alliance and people like that will be there before. And then the actual forum starts at 2 p.m. So what I say is, some people ask, why would I want to go to a healthcare forum on a beautiful Saturday? Well, I can tell you that the access to quality healthcare is in serious trouble. The intention of this forum is to educate and activate our community and help protect our healthcare and support elected officials who are doing very hard work to draft legislations to as well protect our healthcare, and I'll talk about that a little more. Some of the challenges that we faced last year was the closure of the University District Emergency Room and Behavioral Health. They served 100 patients a day in South and West Eugene. What people don't realize is that if you are having a life-threatening medical emergency, your travel time has gone from my house about a little over a minute to 8 minutes to get to River Bend, which is the in Springfield. So Eugene no longer has a hospital. If there's an earthquake, we will be stranded because most of the bridges will probably collapse if it's a Cascadian subduction scale earthquake, and we will be without any emergency care on this side of the river. Incidentally, before the closure of the University District Hospital, it was just disclosed that Peace Health has purchased Zoom Care, and they are investing millions of dollars, hundreds of millions of dollars in this venture while they were closing a critical emergency room to our community. The other thing that happened last year and preceding years was the debacle at the Oregon Medical Group, where Optum Oregon, it's a subsidiary of the United Health Group, we've all heard of that, largest healthcare organization or company in the US, is completely profit driven. And with their profit driven business plan, after taking over Oregon Medical Group, over 30 physicians said, "We can't practice good medicine if we're only allowed a few minutes with each patient. We have quotas." So 30 physicians left that practice. They took they basically left that left above, literally thousands of patients without a primary care physician, and that is critical. You have to have a primary care physician to seek any other further care. That's your first stop. So that problem of not having enough primary care physicians still exists today. It's very difficult to get in a physician, and it takes months to get an appointment. And the other thing that happened is Pacific Source pulled their funding from White Bird. It was to the tune of $3.4 million. That happened last December. And White Bird serves a huge community of unhoused and uninsured people, and that they are very challenged to maintain those services. The other challenge that we're facing is the corporatization of our healthcare. Large healthcare corporations and private equity firms are very focused on healthcare, and they're moving into Oregon at a very rapid pace. What this means is the corporate executives are now making many decisions about our healthcare instead of the physicians. They're decreasing the amount of time physicians have with patients. They are cutting auxiliary staff and putting too much pressure on physicians. They're not feeling, they didn't feel like they could deliver quality care. The other part is it's an increasing competition, so smaller clinics and medical facilities have to compete with these big corporations, and it's putting them out of business. There are other challenges to our healthcare coming up, especially with the new administration. Medicaid, there's a lot of talk, and people are understanding that Medicaid is going to be dramatically cut. It was cut, and Trump shut down the Medicaid website. Unfortunately, Senator Ron Wyden pushed back with a lot of other elected officials, and they restored it. But the problem is 1.4 million Oregonians rely on Medicaid who are on the Oregon health plan. If it's cut, they are going to be challenged for their health care. The other challenge is the Biden order for prescription drug price reduction plan has been rescinded. The Affordable Care Act is being ro rolled back. Dr. Oz, who is heavily invested in healthcare and big pharma, is the nominee to lead the Center for Medicare and Medicaid. This is a huge conflict of interest. He stands to make millions by making a Medicare Advantage plan, the default Medicare plan, which is now controlled by large corporations like UnitedHealthcare. The other challenge is Robert Kennedy is the nominee for Secretary of the Federal Health and Human Services. He has a long history of vaccine denial. He has sued the National Institute for Health for their distribution of the COVID vaccine, which has saved millions of people. He has stated that there's no vaccine that is safe and effective. He promoted the lie that the MMR vaccine caused autism, which has been proven to be untrue. And he's really gone around the world, went to Samoa and told them they shouldn't be using the measles vaccine. Fortunately, they were smart enough to understand that he was just an anti-vaxxer. But about 80 children died because they slowed down their distribution of the measles vaccine. But finally, they said, this is crazy, and they stopped it. And the last thing that has happened just recently is that the U.S. has pulled out of the World Health Organization. Their role is to monitor a disease around the world, and if there's a disease outbreak, that we are in completely aware of it. But if we pull out, if there's a big pandemic in another part of the world, we will not know about it. The state of Oregon, county health are making provisions to protect Oregonians. Sinjal Hathi, who is the director of the Oregon Health Authority, pledged that anybody in the Oregon health plan will be covered by state funding if it's cut. She's assembling an incident command. If there is any healthcare emergencies, they will bring it to light and figure out a response. She has pledged to protect transgender youth. She is extending healthcare coverage to undocumented residents. And there's several other initiatives. She's put together a trusted messaging network that will protect against misinformation that may come out about our healthcare. So this forum is an attempt to get people together to organize and to activate people. It is vitally important for all of our community to become informed and activated to support our healthcare and our elected officials who are leading this effort. Thank you very much.
I'm just curious why the National Association of Colored People is involved in this. People of color especially are vulnerable to a crumbling healthcare system. Is that why is the NAACP involved before the March 1st event?
They are concerned about all the things that I referred to, but there's another layer of just a blatant racism towards people of color, and telling them that their symptoms are not leading to any kind of disease, and they're just treated as many white folks do, that without respect, and without taking what they're saying seriously, and mistreating them, misdiagnosing them. And I can think of several specific examples. I don't want to name names, but people who've been of color misdiagnosed, which has led to their fatality. So.
Right, and you talked about there's less and less competition. So, first of all, assuming that we have a privatized system, I'm not talking about whether privatized or public is better than the other, but let's say they continue on with a privatized system, and then we only have one corporation that we all have to go to. What's going to happen there? What if only one corporation, there's only one game in town for us to get healthcare for? What will happen to the quality of our healthcare then, do you think?
Well, I'm a patient of the Lane County Health Department. I get great care from them. I had a medical emergency. The next day, they caught. I got three phone calls. How are you doing? Do you need help? Do you need food? Are you in a safe place? All those things. I got no calls from the actual cardiologist or their that hospital. What hospitals, pretty much all of them now, are profit driven. That is their bottom line. It is not high quality healthcare. It is an example of shutting down the University District Hospital, a vital hospital to our community, to divert funds to expand into a new market. And corporate executives are making decisions, critical decisions, including denial of procedures. For our healthcare, and it needs to be completely driven by physicians. There is legislation underway to stop the corporatization and require that healthcare facilities are run by physicians and not corporate executives who are looking at profit margins.
But what I'm getting at is the profit motive, though. There's a third, your money is going to a third area. Your money isn't going just to your healthcare. It's going to shareholders and administrators to pay them in addition to. So the money I put into the healthcare doesn't just go for my healthcare with the profit motive.
Exactly. For an example, United Health Group in 2023 had a net profit, a 36% of $22.4 billion. That's sheer profit that they are able to buy more facilities. They make huge profit by denying healthcare, delaying healthcare, and pushing out small practices that they take over.
But they don't use the money to buy necessarily to buy more facility, or if they do buy more facilities, it's to again make profit. But that profit goes, the shareholders just goes into their bank account. It doesn't go to more facilities or more healthcare.
Exactly.
Is your
They
point?
have stockholders and executives who are expecting the corporation to have a healthy return, and they fulfill that. That's their primary job.
All right, but so their argument, though, is that this competition creates a higher quality healthcare. So, but like you're saying, eventually the competition, if they keep competing with one another, the ultimate result of that will be that there will only be one corporation to go to. Their whole system to me doesn't add up. Whether you believe in capitalism or not, you shouldn't be competing for better services. They should just always have better services or the best quality that you can get. So you know what I mean? So what is going to happen if we only have one corporation that we buy all our healthcare for? What will happen to the quality then, do you think?
They can, if they're that big, they can break unions. They can degrade the quality of healthcare. Nurses will tell you that the working conditions are unbearable in many places, and they quit. And they say, well, there's not enough nurses. There's not enough nurses and doctors because they're sick of working for corporate medicine. And they want to deliver good health care. There are awesome nurses and doctors out there, but they're giving up on the industry because it is so corporatized. 80% of doctors now work for a corporation. And it wasn't that long ago when 80% of doctors had their own private practice. And they worked in hospitals. They didn't work for the hospital. The healthcare industry is monopolizing control, and that leads to poor healthcare. Healthcare should be led by community health and human services, not by profit-driven corporations.
But at least we can vote out someone if they're not doing a good job. We have the ability to vote them out, whereas we don't really have the ability to vote out the head of a corporation.
Right. I mean, you have some controls over a community. There are many controls over the county and state health and human services. There really is not much control, especially when they wield so much power that they can really tell local officials what they're going to do. And if they don't like it, they'll just close shop and so they have too much control now, and it needs to be more balanced. And really, what we need is government-controlled healthcare for all, where the communities deliver that healthcare and not for-profit corporations raking off a big part of our monthly costs.
What happened to the audit that they were going to do of the university hospital shutdown? What happened to that
I
audit?
don't know of any audit that's come out. There's really, I think, a lot of public officials did not see any opportunity to fight back. It's really up to the community, and that's what our Eugene Healthcare Coalition is all about. We're the community, and we're pushing back. There are some great public officials, elected officials, we're doing good work. We need to put our shoulder behind them and support them and push them to even do better work. So,
What's going to happen if that doesn't work? What will people do you think, if that doesn't work?
if we don't succeed, we have big problems. Our healthcare is just going to be degraded. Medicaid is going to be gone. Affordable Care Act will be diminished. The cabinet that Trump has picked with Dr. Oz and Robert Kennedy are just going to turn it into a profit-making venture. They will bring in a whole new era of poor health care.
When you're saying, they're saying that the state will be able to pay for this, San Diego just reported a $250 million budget deficit, and what is the overall cause of this? Why are our federal dollars, where do our federal dollars go instead of healthcare? Or what do you think caused this?
We are seeing increasingly the federal government not reimbursing and not paying for state and local initiatives the way it used to be. And we have, I mean, personally, I think we have almost $1 trillion per year budget for military, that should be going towards our community, not for setting up hundreds of military bases around the world.
This is austerity programs that is what people don't seem to realize is that we really should be pushing the federal government, in my opinion, to push to get this money spent to the states and
Well, unless the communities wake up and get involved to protecting their rights, their health care rights, their civil rights, we are going to see a very dark period in this country. And I'm very concerned.
All right, Tom Peck of the Eugene Healthcare Coalition. You have the event on March 1st.
They're having the second citywide healthcare forum and health fair Saturday, March 1st, 2025. The health fair from 11 to 2, and the healthcare forum from 2 to 4 at the Willamette Christian Center, 2500 West 18th Avenue, Eugene. Willamette Christian Center, 2500 West 18th Avenue, Eugene, on March 1st, 11 to 4 p.m. Hope you can show up for that. For more information, go to the EugeneHealthcareCoalition.org website. All right, so what we're talking about is needed is a healthcare co-op where, think about it, you pool all your resources into one organization to get better prices if it's all in one organization. And a co-op actually is a capitalist, whether you believe in capitalism or not, it is sort of a capitalist entity, you know, like Costco, where the people that use this entity control it. It's not controlled by the workers, it's controlled by the people who use it. That's what a co-op is. And you get economies of scale by pooling all your resources together. You know, because in true capitalism, the government's role is to maintain commerce by making sure no one gets big enough to dominate the market. And that's the problem with privatized healthcare is there's really nothing stopping healthcare corporations from undercutting the competition with lower wages and cheaper technology. And until they're the only game in town. And I tell this story all the time. My mother was a medical billing. She was a bookkeeper for a medical billing, and she was ultra conservative. Okay, she defended Nixon until the day he died. Okay, ultra conservative bookkeeper, and even she said that Medicare always paid. She had to fill out a lot of forms to get the money, but they always paid in a timely manner, whereas the HMOs didn't pay. And to the point where that this medical office that she worked for, which had very skilled doctors there that were fairly wealthy doctors, they threw out the HMOs and only would take Medicare or private insurance. They had so much problems with the HMOs. Again, these are conservative people that still would take Medicare, the low that they weren't making a lot of money from. They might made much more from private healthcare, but they threw out. You know, these were insurance companies that you get at your work as opposed to HMOs. So, in a public healthcare system, there are no ultra wealthy doctors, but high quality doctors are still well paid. So no one's going to get really rich off of the thing, but you're still going to get because doctors don't doctor for money. Hopefully, you don't want a doctor like that. And it's true there's been corrupt politicians in the insurance industry, but at least they can be voted out of office. Shareholders, activists just look at return on investment at all costs, not necessarily increasing profits with higher quality services, especially if they're the only game in town. And you can see this today. Historically, they don't go for quality, they go for the cheapest, most profit. It usually ends up by cutting wages, which you're really cutting off your nose to spite your face when you cut wages, because these are the people that are buying your product. So ultimately, it just doesn't work, and the whole system collapses. So, you know, in a capitalist system, that's what the government, in a laissez-faire system, that's what the government is supposed to do, is make sure commerce continues by making sure no one dominates the market, because when someone dominates the market, the whole market shuts down. And we've known this since the East India Company, that we had, where the East India Company, we had to, the British had to send the British army to defend them in India. They became so ruthless and corrupt. So, yeah, I hope you show up on March 1st for the Eugene Healthcare Coalition Forum on Healthcare so we can get this straightened out. So here's a couple of articles, and I'm just using these. Please research this stuff yourself. I'm just using these articles to illustrate my point. So one is from a New Hampshire Journal from June 24th, 2024 by Taylor Millard. Activist Investing versus Healthcare Innovation. Okay. In 1989, Massey Joe Chiani founded Massimo, a literal garage startup in his Southern California home. Today, it's on the 2024 list of top-ranked medical device companies in the world, credited with launching groundbreaking technologies from non-invasive patient monitors to telehealth platforms. Now, the company faces a challenge to its own health. A takeover bid from a prominent activist investor in a battle, experts say will echo beyond the boardroom and Wall Street. Quentin Coffey of Politan Capital is waging a high-profile proxy battle for control of Massimo. Coffey is seeking to put two more people on Massimo's board of the directors at the company's 2024 annual meeting on July 25th, giving Politan a majority. At issue, experts say, is the balance between innovation in a field where new technology can literally save lives versus shareholder activism that often prioritizes short-term gain. It's good to have shareholders putting pressure on management, but the track record of activists imposing their own plans for reorganizing a public company's operations isn't all that great, said economist Ike Brannon, a former senior advisor for tax policy at the U.S. Treasury. Massimo allies say that at a time when the company is pushing to pair health tech with consumer tech, outside pressure that slows progress could have a real-world impact on people's lives. Even some financial experts agree such pressures brought on by frequent activist interventions and the potential instability they can bring can undercut the core mission of healthcare companies to innovate and ensure patient safety. Activist investors say their pressure is needed to promote efficiency and deliver dividends to investors. Coffey is one of the most aggressive in the field, simultaneously been called one of the industry's busiest and biggest activists and a threat of dysfunction and chaos. According to Massimo, Coffey has an unprincipled willingness to distort the truth in pursuit of his agenda. Of particular concern in the Massimo case is his push to place William Jellison on the board. Coffey claims Jellison, a former executive at medtech company Stryker Corporation, would bring the medical technology and financial oversight expertise that Massimo needs, according to a recently filed preliminary proxy statement. But Jellison hasn't served as chief financial officer in the medtech field since 2016. Instead, he has emerged as an activist investor favorite. For example, in March, activist investor Callaghan Partners placed Jellison on the board of Anika Therapeutics, which makes osteoarthritis knee pain relief injection treatments. Now, Coffey is pushing Jellison on the Massimo board despite his less-than-stellar record as a fiduciary. For example, he poured nearly $200,000 into investment firm Saddle River Advisors that SEC investigators later described as nothing more than a Ponzi scheme, according to public records. Disciplinary actions stemming from misrepresentation to investors in that case, which Jellison appears to have missed, resulted in fines of almost $1.5 million. Inside Anika Inside Anika Therapeutics, sources say they are concerned about Jellison's impact on the board. One, a senior manager, said he recognizes Jellison is highly knowledgeable regarding public company financials, but there is no question whose side he's on, and it's not ours. I feel like we have a spy in our midst. Another executive at the firm said Jellison is not what is important, it's Callaghan. Jellison is a proxy. The activist investor approach is their worst nightmare, the executive said, because if they don't reach an agreement, it tears you apart. Massimo advocates say this is why investor activism is different when it comes to healthcare and medtech, as opposed to financial services or manufacturing. When U.S. District Judge Leonard P. Stark ruled in Massimo's favor in a 2015 patent case, he wrote that the undisputed damages evidence was that an entire industry, other than Philips and one Chinese company, took licenses from Massimo for innovative technology that saved thousands of lives and billions of dollars in healthcare costs. Will the activist investor model slow or even stop the next generation of life-saving innovative technology? That is the issue raised by the proxy fight for Massimo. All right, so this is an article from Reuters from January 2nd, 2025 by Swia Herbst Bayless. Record number of activist investors joined shareholder rebellion in 2024, and this includes some healthcare organizations. A record number of activist shareholders mounted campaigns at global companies in 2024, a Barclays report showed on Thursday, as their pressure tactics produced strong returns and further growth is likely this year. Looking back to 2024, it feels almost as if there was a shareholder revolt, said Jim Rossman, global head of shareholder advisory at Barclays. In 2024, 160 investors, such as hedge funds, pushed companies to make moves like improving strategy and operations or firing chief executives, including 45 who deployed the strategy for the first time, Barclays said. That's up more than 18% from 135 investors in 2023, which included 31 first-timers. The number of campaigns launched last year, 243, surpassed 229 in 2023, but was slightly below the record of 249 in 2018. Looking ahead to 2025, bankers, lawyers, and analysts believe more companies will face shareholder attacks as last year's returns and expectations for continued equity market strength embolden investors. Investors are no longer willing to sit and wait for promised improvements and are saying, we want the companies where we are invested to change right now, Rossman said. While performance figures for 2024 are not available yet, investors said several high-profile firms had returns approaching 30% last year. The S&P 500 rose a bit more than 23% over the same period. High-profile campaigns in 2024 by longtime activists included Trian Fund Management at entertainment giant Walt Disney, and Elliott Investment Management at coffee chain Starbucks and Southwest Airlines. But newcomers also flexed their muscles, mounting their first campaigns. These included Anonym Capital Management at Henry Schein, Daventry Group at Kinaxis, and First Light Management at Sotera Health. Investors also continue to shift scene in the last 3 years toward prioritizing operational and strategic improvements over mergers and acquisitions, the data showed. More than one quarter or 26% of all campaign demands centered on strategy and operations, up from 19% in 2021. Only 22% of campaigns in 2024 asked for merger and acquisition moves like divesting business units or selling a company. In 2021, when global deal volume hit a high, 43% of activist demands focused on M&A. Bankers and lawyers anticipated campaigns that could lead to divestment will pick up this year under the Trump administration, which they believe will be less likely to raise obstacles to deals than its predecessor. In 2024, activists more than ever took aim at chief executives. A record 27 were replaced, up from 24 in 2023, and the four-year average of 16, the Barclays data showed. Kohl's, which has been under activist pressure for years, announced a CEO departure in November as newcomer Vision One Management Partners exerted pressure. Activist groups Activist campaigns that led to new CEOs also included Glenwood Capital Management at CVS Health, Railway Norfolk Southern fired its CEO for violating company policies months after activist Anchor Holdings won board seats. CEOs at Starbucks, Smart Rent, and Wolfspeed announced their departures as activist investors circled. Activist investors are holding companies and boards accountable. That includes sometimes no longer allowing the CEO to steer the ship, Barclays Rossman said. Nearly half of all global campaigns in the United States, with 115 launched, marking a 6% increase from 2023, the data found, but U.S. funds including Elliott, Sachem Head Capital Management, and Trian also found opportunities abroad. While activity in Europe slowed, it boomed in the Asia-Pacific region, notably in Japan, South Korea, and Australia, with campaigns at Tokyo Gas and Nippon Steel. The number of new global campaigns jumped 67% from the third to the fourth quarter in 2024, the data showed, suggesting a growth trend heading into 2025. So yeah, do we really want all this going on with our healthcare corporation? I'm not sure about that. And would it give us better quality healthcare at a cheaper cost? I'm not sure about that either. As opposed to pooling our money, all our money together in one organization that we have an elected board controlling that we can monitor at all times. A healthcare co-op, if you will, that is actually a sort of capitalist entity that saves money with economies of scale. A healthcare co-op that we all, that the users control with elected boards.
Brought to you by Crazy Larry MD's Procedure Emporium, where they're crazy for your healthcare. Hi, I'm Crazy Larry MD from Crazy Larry MD's Procedure Emporium, where we're crazy for your healthcare. We guarantee to charge you only 100% of what your insurance pays after they pay it or whatever's higher with approved collateral. Come on down, we'll give you a free ride in my Bugatti. Our internationally sought surgeon will have you for dinner once you pay your bill. Free vasectomy by Rabbi Cutswell with every operation. This week's special, open heart surgery, just $50,000, sutures not included. At Crazy Larry MD's, call for the latest location. I'm crazy for your healthcare.
Brought to you by BJ's Bottled Air, the only bottled air manufactured in a plant powered by the very charcoal it's filtered through. Each bottle comes with a free trach tube ribbed and lubricated for pleasurable insertion. Pick up some BJ's Bottled Air today while you still can.
Jay frightened by now. You ever feel as if your mind had started to erode?
Yeah. Ever been to Utah?
Sir, I represent the Helping Hand Acceptance Corporation.
Radiation. Yes, indeed. You hear the most outrageous lies about it. Half-baked gogglebox do-gooders telling everybody it's bad for you. Pernicious nonsense. Everybody could stand 100 chest x-rays a year. They ought to have to. When they canceled the project, it almost did me in. One day my mind was a little bursting. The next day, nothing swept away. But I'll show them. I had a lobotomy in the end.
Lobotomy? Isn't that for loonies?
Not at all. A friend of mine had one. Designer of the neutron bomb. You ever hear of the neutron bomb? Destroys people. Leaves buildings standing. Fits in a suitcase. so small. No one knows it's there till blammo. Eyes melt, skin explodes, everybody dead. So immoral working on a thing can drive you mad. That's what happened to this friend of mine. So he had a lobotomy. Now he's well again.
What kind of car does your friend drive?
Chevy Malibu.
This is really a nice old car. Why don't you let me drive?
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. I mean, don't you feel funny?
Why should I feel funny? The two hemispheres are fundamentally at odds. Hemisphere. You know, it's strange. I do feel funny.